All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an F Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects, and a beautiful day in the neighborhood, I must say, as Nick is here, as you've heard him for the last 2 hours, just killing it for little Charlie Palullo. As what? Charlie is hungover and just trying to recover from just a wild evening of way too much fun at the listener appreciation party. You're shaking your head already. What is your beef, Barry?
Because you started off by calling him little Charlie Palullo.
Is he big? Thank you.
He's a full-size man.
Who said that?
Me. Little Charlie.
Yeah. I tapped David Gow on the shoulder last night when you and I were leaving, and I said, the gentleman next to you, it's past his bedtime. We need to get him home, and it was Charlie.
You ain't right. You are not right.
All right, boys. A good time had by all. We were kind of in our own separate corners last night from time to time, but all mingling with listeners and otherwise.
It was
fun, though. That was a good time.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was... You know, I said before that I was a little worried about kind of the stuff that happened last year where, like, at the Papa Shot where I was accosted or the guy that made it weird and I thought we were going to fight because he was being an a-hole about stealing the shirt design and then being aggressive. And there was really none of that other than running for my life one time. There was not a whole lot that was wrong with last night.
No punches thrown, nothing thrown at you.
No
cups, no alcohol.
No punches thrown, no I mean, like I said, I don't know why you're looking at me. What?
I'm just listening to your breakdown. That's all I'm doing.
I ran for my life one time.
Mm-hmm. You survived, obviously.
I survived. Other than that, I mean, I met a lot of people that I had never met before. I got to hang out with a lot of people that we've hung out with before or seen at remotes or, well, I mean, it was just a, it was
a lot of things you hadn't seen before.
I'm not going there with you.
I'm
not going to answer the question, Barry.
I saw people like mixing drinks I had never seen before, things like that too. So there's a lot going on.
I didn't see it or things other people did and told me about.
Okay.
Things. It was fun. It was so fun.
I mean,
you I will are going to get me in trouble because I want to tell the story. Yeah, so
I know you
bad.
Do.
And I don't know. I've not been specifically told I can't tell all the stories.
I asked AJ and he said it was cool.
Oh, really?
I asked somebody. He said, that's up to you if you want to mention it. That's what he said.
So did you?
I absolutely did. I did tell her that, you know, I don't know what you experienced. All I experienced was a very chatty version of her. So I didn't experience anything bad.
So I'm not going to use names. I'll just tell the story.
The last 2 hours, I used her name like
quite frequently. Okay, I'm not.
Okay, fair enough.
I won't use names. I'll just say this, that someone showed up and had pre-gamed.
There were several that pregame.
Yeah, but some folks were ripe, ready to go. And I won't even say what they said, but they were saying that AJ would do inappropriate things.
I mean,
to them.
Okay.
For no reason.
Right.
I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Will he do it for no reason or that they were saying it for no reason?
Okay. And then... You know, it was one of those things where I like drunk people, and I like when I'm one of the drunk people. What I don't like is being around drunk people when I'm not drunk. Mm-hmm. So that's not quite as fun. And then at one point, this person saw me. I was trying to, like, avoid them because they were really, really drunk. Mm-hmm. And at one point, this person saw me across the room I was like, Barry. And I was like, nope. And I took off running. Literally.
And it ain't easy to run it was crowded. As many people as there were that last night.
And I took off running, and then they chased me. So now they're running, and I'm running around the listener party. And I'm only running to get away because it's just a weird thing happening.
I wish we had this on video, Nick, and just played the theme from Chariots of Fire behind
Barry. Oh, that would have been fantastic.
So I do a complete lap around Gal Media. Fourth floor to shake this person. And I tell you what, if the Texans need a run defender, this person is good in pursuit. So if like if the opponents ever get the edge, this is your person, because they're good in pursuit. I was unable to shake this person, and I'm nimble. Okay, I'm not fast, but I'm nimble. You're not
Barry Sanders, but no, you're not the fridge.
No, yeah. Okay. I didn't spill any drinks dodging people in and out. And what the best part is, I didn't know this because I was like, I finally just dipped into the men's room.
Safe.
Well, until Mark Schell just busted in. What are you doing with the door open? I was like, bro, get out. What is going on?
Now, there's a guy that's not so nimble.
See?
I'm just letting you know.
So I dip into the bathroom. And I thought that's what it was. That's how I lost this person.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out they just ran into a wall.
What?
At some point during the pursuit, they're like, come back! And just hit the wall. I don't know if they fell.
Oh, God.
I was never told if they...
Is that what that body outline on the wall was today in tape?
But they just went Wile E. Coyote. With the tunnel, you know, in the commercials or in the cartoons, they'll paint the tunnel,
yeah,
on the wall,
yeah,
and then the coyote just runs into that,
yeah.
That's pretty much what happened.
So you were chased by a coyote, is what you're saying?
Okay, we can call it that.
All right,
a Wile E. Coyote, and
say coyote ugly.
No, I managed to avoid that, and then there were a couple more incidents. I mean, look. There's a saying when someone tells you, you know, when people do things they shouldn't, they really showed their ass. As a saying.
If I was Nick right now, the proper response would be, see.
It was, but you know what? I had so much fun.
Oh, it was awesome.
Hanging out with everybody. And it, I mean, just the stories and you know, people sharing with you what they love about the station or the show or messing with me, just, you know, giving me the business and talking trash or whatever. It was a lot of fun, and I'm so glad. And I just want to say, and I think we should probably bring her in at some point today.
Courtney?
Yes.
She's here.
Absolutely.
Because she is a rock star.
Yeah.
And her team did an amazing job at making this happen and having it run smoothly.
Yep.
And putting this together for the listeners. And it was cool to see the sponsors out. You had Cobos Q, you had Cowboys and Indians and Big City Wings, and I drank plenty of Coors Light. It was top notch. And I think just about everybody that came had a great time.
I agree. And I'll say this. I second everything you said, and I'll say a couple of things that we also both put on Twitter too, which is the amazing thing to me, without sounding like an egomaniac, is just how much support we get from our listeners and how many people had stories about when they started listening or the effect that the shows had on them and the fact that they feel like they know us and they're so attached that they don't want to miss shows and things. Just so very cool. And I even had people that came up and said, man, I remember the days of the barbershop and the living room. Yeah, in the living room and to where you guys have come now. And I was like, you know, look, I was just thanking people left and right. And there were some emotional stories again. And, you know, and Nick and I talked about Ivan and everything that he and his family have been through. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? Yeah. At the end of the day, you walk away from that and you say, these aren't just like listeners that are doing the service of listening to a show that you're putting out there. This is a relationship. And
yeah,
to family. See great, it's family. And it's great people sharing great stories. It was like one big just family gathering. And
it
in
really
every
was.
Family gathering, sometimes
you got that drunk uncle or aunt.
Who? Just things happen. And the next day you try to delete them from your mind. And
oh, see?
You try. Seriously, my dad was like that. My dad was like the life of the party and then some excessively. And then the next day, it was all just a blur, like it didn't happen.
Man, I really wanted to tell the whole story, but
yeah.
I've told enough.
I thought for sure you would. I was like...
I wanted to.
But you decided not to.
Like, yeah.
That's cool.
I kind of feel like ATX Homo Girl Dez said, oh man, Barry really did have some wheels in that crowd.
I was wondering how many people saw it.
The majority of the party that was out there in the open area saw it.
Man.
It was wild.
And our shirts turned out good.
Yep.
That was cool. People were happy to get them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people were a tad upset that if you were on our list, you didn't get a shirt.
There was a miscommunication because we were told initially that the people on our lists, as well as the people that won on our show, were supposed to get them. Then there was a change, and there was also a slight snafu in the actual shirt itself.
Sure.
So but, they only made like 30 for last night, and then they're going to get the rest out.
Yeah, but everybody has a chance to get a shirt, especially like if you're doing our drafts or if you're going to be at a remote. Man, just show up and you get a shirt. So
yeah.
That's a cool thing. If it was only 30, I assume the whole batch of T-shirts were messed up. So,
like, I don't want to sound again like an egomaniac or anything like that, or that we the idea for these things and forced it on people. But I can't tell you, and I don't know if you guys felt the same way, and I know Barry did because boy. But there were so many people coming up to us and saying, "How do we get a shirt? Where's our shirt? When do we get a shirt?" And then Mark Schell came over and basically said, hey, Barry's got more pull than you.
See?
And I go, really?
See?
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, Mark Sheldon is.
And he didn't want to tell me,
mouth.
But then he kind of flaunted that he had a shirt.
His
so then
big
everybody
mouth.
That asked me that if how do I get a shirt, I was like, well, did you find Barry? Because he's got more pull than me. He can do this for you. So then the rest of the night, Barry was cussing me out because everybody was finding Barry.
Oh, my God. Everyone was like, well, Joel said you give me a shirt.
I didn't say you give him a shirt. You got more pull.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a huge mistake. That's the last time I ever help out Mark Schell. He was like, you think you can give me one?
He said he'd block for you the next time you're running.
He said, no, he didn't. He gave me away. Yeah, that was, man, I wanted to leave early. I was telling you, I was like, I'm out at 8:30.
That's what I thought. I thought you guys were gone, and then I saw you guys in the...
I left at 10:20.
Wow.
I was going to be out at 8:30, and that just tells you...
I left when you did.
That tells you how much fun it was and what a good time... Because you never know, but it was ton of fun, and I'm just happy that I hope everybody that came had as good a time as I did.
It was a great
positive experience.
Really was. Yeah, it was extremely good fun. I stayed as late as you did, and I actually at one point texted you because everybody told me you were gone.
Yeah,
prior to your deadline,
I got your text telling me Gal was passing out bonuses.
Nick, you missed that. I texted him. I said, Gal, where are you? Gal's passing out bonuses, but we got to be here together to get them. And all of a sudden, he saw his phone. So, shout out to all the suspects. You guys were fantastic. It was great meeting all y'all, and the listener party was fantastic.
I have bad news.
Uh-oh.
I don't have a comedian of the week.
Oh, good.
I was just going to ask you.
Essentially, we're at the same place we are every other week, except this one you're not pulling a rabbit
Come
out of your head.
Come up with one.
I had a plan, and it fell through.
Okay.
So... We'll just we can talk about local comedians or something and what's going on.
There you have it. All right, we'll continue with that and a whole lot more. We got guests coming up from Texans training camp. So Sarah Barshoff's going to join us. Cody Stutes is going to join us. Get some football conversation going before the big game at NRG tomorrow night between the Detroit Lions and the Houston Texans. And if you want to join the parade, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. Back with a whole lot more on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started on The Usual Suspects the day after the listener appreciation party, where a fun time was had by all. We had a great time. Again, shout out to the suspects and the listeners who made it a very memorable evening for all of us. I don't know,
you know what I'm mad about?
Doing over
I'm adjusting my bra. You know what I'm mad about? We didn't take a show pick.
We never do.
But we should have.
And I agree with that.
Pick Me was here. And I got to say, for all of the grief that we give Mike from Pick Me and Get Me and
Drive Me
Stick Me and whatever, I don't know how many me's businesses he has. He's got a lot. He's an entrepreneur.
Suck Me has not come.
Oh, wow.
Has not gotten there yet.
I feel like that should have been dumped.
No. Come on.
What?
Nick, it's totally legit. It's a business proposition he's working on.
It's a vacuum cleaner store.
Yeah, that too.
See, I saved you.
Yes, it's
You're
a
welcome.
Car vacuum cleaner. Well done. When you
You're
get
welcome.
Done, what is the driving one?
Huh?
Get Me. When Get Me has dirt on the seats.
In the car, you can use Suck Me
you
to clean
suck
it
me.
Up. I got to say that it was the product, the Pick Me product, the pictures that you take with them. Mm-hmm. Man, that is top-notch stuff.
That's
and
cool.
If you have a business, I just want to highly recommend, if you want something fun for the people that are at your party or at your business, you really need to hit up Mike with Pick Me. He doesn't pay us to say this or
nope.
anything, but I'm telling you, I took a couple of pictures with some folks at his booth. And, man, it's really, really good.
Here's what I'll say. When we got
married, come out amazing.
We had a photo booth at our wedding reception. And it was like you go to the mall. It was the three-picture deal and the small little pics and everything like that. The fact that people left here last night with like 5x7s, glossy,
yeah.
nice ones.
Yep.
And the fact that that has been taken to another level by Mike and Pick Me. It makes a memorable occasion far more memorable when you leave that party and the next day in your car or whatever and on your fridge, under,
yep.
you go, you know what? Man, that was a blast.
They're high quality. They'll put like logos on it. So like the pictures had an ESPN logo. So you knew you were at the listener party. So again, if you have a business, it's a really cool deal. You can put your
yeah.
logo on it or whatever, but it's just, it's fun. And that's the only regret is I wish we would have taken a Usual Suspects pick that way.
I'm totally with you.
Next time, we'll have to do that.
And we have said that in the past. And, of course, we all get spread out, and we're all trying to mingle with as many people as we can. And then in the end of the night, we're like, dang, we didn't do that again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Mike does a hell of a job. So
yep.
if you think it was just a listener party, if you're doing that for a wedding or a birthday or some special occasion, those are memories right there you can save. So think about that.
Yeah. That was fun, though. I had a blast, and I hope everybody else did, too. So
yeah, it was a good time.
Did you get home in time to watch the game?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So I put it on, and boy, I'm with you. It is a tough listen. But I put it on driving home.
Yeah.
And they were up 2-0. And by the time I got home, they were down 3-2, 4-2, and then tied.
Yep.
So then I was like, oh, great. I got a good game to watch. Then every time, and boy, I hate saying this, especially when it's after 10 o'clock and I'm at the house, but I thought of you several times because every time they hit a home run to tie the game or take the lead, I was like, now I'm worried about the bullpen again. And I know that I'm hearing voices in my head. The numbers are good. You're going to be fine. The numbers are good. And then boom. And I'm like, oh, boy.
Well, last night it was everybody's.
Sure it was.
Sanchez,
it was like
starters,
a bazooka.
Bullpen.
Like, boom, boom, boom. The A's guys are just teeing off.
They've lost 3 in a row now. 4 of their last 5.
No, 2 out of 3, right? Or...
No,
they lost three
in a row.
They lost the last one in Baltimore, but then they won the first one in Chicago.
They've lost 3 in a row, 4 of their last 5. They lost the last 2 to the White Sox.
No, they did not. They won the first game of a doubleheader against the White Sox.
And then lost the last one and the second game of the doubleheader.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay.
Plus the third game of the series,
yeah.
plus last night. That's 3 in a row
yeah.
and 4 of their last 5 because they lost the last game of the Orioles series.
Your point was made. You don't have to go that far.
Well, you corrected me.
I was just going on the 3 in a row. I didn't need all the other stuff.
That's what I was saying, though. Anyways, it's tough sledding right now for the Astros. I mean, offensively, they seem to be clicking, but they're struggling. That pitching staff is struggling, and you wonder if this is just a slump. Is this something? Is this exhaustion? Is this a mechanics thing? Is this, you know, Brent Strom being out? Is this
there's a lot of
reasons,
side variables that could factor in. And you're right. I mean, look, they haven't, for as much as they whined about that late night return to Houston and that one game, when you saw that schedule coming up in this month and you knew there weren't going to be any days off, and then you had to deal with a rain out one night, which just magnified the next day going forward with the doubleheader, three games in less than 24 hours, all of that, you're right. There's a lot to be considered here. And of course, Astros Twitter is just freaking out even more than what we talked about yesterday on the bullpen. But the fact of the matter was, look, after two good outings, Sanchez had given up one run in 11 innings or 12 innings, and it just, it went south for him last night. And so you don't know what it is. You just hope that they can snap out of it, because the A's are starting to pick up momentum. When you watch, the thing that I noticed the most was in those late home runs, that dugout scene last night, that's a team feeling good about themselves.
Yeah. That the Sanchez thing, that's the Sanchez I thought they were getting. Mm-hmm. Last night's Sanchez was the one I thought that they went out and traded for. And I remember I told the story when they did it that the 6'10 guy was like, no, he's great. I get it. His stuff is great. What's between the ears and mechanically, can he hold up? And the same thing with the Davinsky. Rondon, nice little 1 2/3 innings, no earned runs. Didn't give up
about
a run at all.
Time.
Yeah, well, and then Davinsky comes in and grooves a changeup right down the middle. Any hitter that's in professional baseball is going to sit in that over the fence. Like, you just can't make those mistakes. That's Devo's problem. It's not stuff.
I literally was laying
on
the couch.
He just makes the stupidest mistakes.
Was that the Brantley home run that tied it? The half inning before it? When Devo came in? I think it was the Brantley home run. So I'm sitting there going, and I go, I'm half asleep, but I go, you know what?
When he tied it up 6-6?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay awake long enough to make sure that they get through this half inning. And then I fully expect that they're going to find a way to win this game. It's going to be great. But then after the commercial break, I'm like, oh God, it's Devo. And I'm like, come on, man. I got to stop having bad thoughts. I believe they're going to get through it this time. They're going to come out unscathed in this half inning. And then pow! And I went, oh man, I'm going to bed.
Yeah, he strikes out the side, but gives up the home run and loses the game. So,
so we can continue to talk about that. Astros are on the minds of everybody.
You know what was cool too about the party last night is people were coming up to me talking about Get Upside. I am not even making that up. They were coming up saying thank you. They were asking, is it legit? I'm like, yes. Go talk to these people that are here using Get Upside. They love it. You're going to love it. And if you didn't make it to the party last night for me to preach my Get Upside love to you, just pay attention right now, because I want you to put this on your phone and start using it. There were listeners that were like, dude, I got this amount of money back. I got this amount of money. Look, they were showing me on their app how they've been using GetUpside. Do not miss out on this opportunity to get cash back on the stuff you pay for. So go put GetUpside on your phone right now. And then when you do, put in my promo code Barry, and that'll get you an extra bump on your first fill up through the app, a little extra cash back the first time you do it. I think someone said that they got like $6 on their first fill up through the GetUpside app, which is, you know, Jake Asman got $7. There's the amount of money you can get by just using this app is crazy. And you're already spending it. That's the beautiful thing. You can get up to 35% cash back on food when you purchase it through the app. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon on gas when you purchase it through the app. And again, there's no catch. You don't have to use this if you don't want to. It was featured on ABC 13, so it is legitimate. It is a good product. I love it. You're going to love it. Go download it right now. And when you do, put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. I told you we had guests for you on an F Yeah Friday. F for friend of the show. Cody Stutes is going to join us right now on ESPN 97.5 and The Usual Suspects, as the King of Twin Peaks is bringing in all of that love for the people playing fantasy football. You can contact your local Twin Peaks today to take advantage of sweet draft party prizes for the whole league. And always remember, in one of the six Houston locations, check out Twin Peaks for your draft, for your fantasy football league, like all three of us are going to do next week.
Monday, Cody, my draft, Shenandoah. Tuesday, your draft. Where?
I-10 in Kirkwood.
Uh-huh. Wednesday, Nick, is your draft, correct?
Webster. Just think
he's
Emmanuel
got his
Lewis.
Headphones off.
Think Nick.
Yes, I think Webster. Nick's draft is Webster on Wednesday, I believe.
Webster on Wednesday.
Emmanuel Lewis was Webster on the show.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Nick strikes me as a Webster area.
He was born there.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
I
it's a homecoming of sorts.
That's why it makes sense.
Really?
We try to when make you sense
think,
on this side.
When you think Nick, you think Webster. And of course. When you think Webster, you think Nick.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I see the logic.
We kind of recapped in the first segment the fun we had at the listener appreciation party last night.
You guys were, by my count, the most popular.
Oh, stop it.
Y'all had the most people around, y'all. Y'all were doing the most showing around. A lot of other people stagnant. Y'all were moving around.
Well, we're movers and shakers.
We're professionals.
Yeah.
And we mingle well.
Well, I will say this. Joel just posted up in a conference room.
After a while.
And held court.
After a while.
As I tried to be a man amongst the people.
Oh, God. So you got into a freaking obstacle course race with a listener?
Oh, my God.
That was
fun. Did you see that, Cody?
I thought it was really strange when Joel started handing out Kool-Aid to people in that room. I was like, oh, hold on.
Well, I was trying to get to other places, and you were body blocking me out of the way. So with that being said, hey, you've been covering camp a lot.
I have.
Well, I wasn't done with a listener party question.
Okay.
Continue.
Did you have a good time?
I had a fantastic time. It was the first time I'd ever tried Cowboys Indians.
Really?
Yeah.
And?
Well, I'll be going back. That's for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
That's for sure. The guy was like, put the sauce on this, put the sauce on that. And I was like,
That 65 sauce is the truth.
I don't know which one that one is.
That was the red sauce.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's 65 sauce.
You guys are sauce connoisseurs. You share your recipes for sauce.
Today, driving in, guess what daddy had? Chick-fil-A with the...
Buffalo and ranch mixed up?
Buffalo sauce. Well, I do the buffalo ranch. I coat the grilled nuggets in
shake it up.
And then dip in the ranch.
Oh, there you
but
go.
But it's the same.
Same thing.
And it's amazing.
Just like
you changed
home.
My life, Cody.
Very cozy nuggets.
You will forever be have a special place in my clogged heart.
So now that we're
you
done
mind with the Cowboys and Indians.
Okay. See?
So Nick, now that we're done with food editor for Sports Map, Cody Stutes, as opposed to Eric Sandler with Culture Map, we can get to some football. With these practices with the Lions, I'm trying to kind of read between the lines on this Khalil deal, because obviously people are still wanting them to address the offensive line and the left tackle spot. Bill O'Brien seems to think that Khalil is doing a great job, although he's missed a couple days of practice. But when you watch the film from Green Bay, you watch the joint practices, you hear what you hear from people that are not affiliated with the team, you get a totally different story. What is the deal?
So Matt Khalil, I thought, started camp and started the preseason actually surprising some people. Like, he was pretty decent. He had some good practices, put those together. And after he put together those few solid practices, it just kind of just kept going down. And down and down. Then there will be a slight uptick, and then it just keeps going down. The joint practice the first day with the Lions, some guy I'd never heard of who is probably not making the Lions, just put Matt Khalil in Deshaun Watson's lap. And I was like, oh, that's not good. That's really bad, actually, because all the Lions, like, stud defensive linemen weren't out there. And the first day, the offensive line, they did okay the first set of teams, and then they kind of got worked up the rest of the practice. The second day, no Matt Khalil, Roderick Johnson. So when you watch him tomorrow night, if you watch the game, 63. Okay, Roderick Johnson playing left tackle. Dude looked like a stud out there. Compared to Khalil, the guy looked like a big-time, real NFL offensive tackle. And Roderick Johnson sort of solidified that spot. And so I'll be anxious to see if this went from it's Matt Khalil's job to now there's maybe a competition. It's late in camp to really kind of have that, but Khalil hasn't been good enough to lock it down.
Now, when you say he looked like a legitimate left tackle, is this a case where if you got like, let's say that you're looking at two chicks and one of them's a two and the other one's a four.
Uh-huh.
When you put the four next to the four looks like a six because she's standing next to a two. Is that what we're looking at here? Is this where he might be a backup on any other team, but he is far and away a starter on the Texans because it is so bad?
That is actually probably the situation. He's been the best left tackle this week. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
And Matt Khalil, practice Sunday was off Monday. Everybody's off Tuesday. Practice is Wednesday is off Thursday, and you can look at it one of two ways. The guy's banged up because he always gets hurt,
mm-hmm.
or he's the left tackle and Bill O'Brien's just not going to work him that much. I don't think it's that. I don't think it can be that just because Roderick Johnson was solid enough in the opportunities he got. And if you told me weeks ago Roderick Johnson was going to be in the conversation, I'd have said they got a real problem. And by the way, they still got a real problem at left tackle. I'm not worried about so many of the other spots on the line. But at left tackle, I don't know who the guy's going to be. Julion Davenport's in the conversation there too. But
Trent Williams?
I mean, they should at this point.
They're not. Everything I hear is they're not going to do it.
They should at this point, you know. But yeah, Khalil went from, oh, okay, he's looking pretty good to, actually, he's exactly what we thought he was and probably not an NFL player anymore.
So with QT having the sprained ankle, DeAndre Carter gets a little more time. He's getting some looks. What is up with him in this camp? I've heard some rumblings. Is he a guy that we all need to pay attention to going forward?
So DeAndre Carter was an interesting player because he missed off-season workouts, mini camps, OTAs, and he missed a part of training camp. And I kept thinking to myself, like, this guy can't just come back and just be the kickoff guy, the punt return guy, and then the backup slot. And then he came in, and then he's been amazing all week. He's been back healthy and practicing. And there are times where it doesn't even look like QT's missing because DeAndre Carter's been that good.
Wow.
Now, it's worth noting, and Bill O'Brien said as much to him one day, he's fresh. He hasn't been working out. He hasn't had the grind a couple of weeks of camp. But you don't see that dramatic of a drop-off from Carter to from QT to Carter, and they need that backup slot guy. So as far as I'm concerned, DeAndre Carter's on this team. He was really good with punt returns last year, really good with kick returns last year when he got the opportunity and when he got over, and he seems to be deeper into the playbook than, you know, coming over in the middle of the season last year. So that's helped him from the wide receiver standpoint. So he's absolutely on the team. So we got four wide receivers down. I don't know if they're going to keep five. I don't know if they're going to keep six. But we got four slots locked up as far as wide receiver, in my opinion.
What's the deal with Duke Johnson? Did they know he was hurt when they made the deal? Is it something that happened between in the transition between the Browns and the Texans? When do we expect to see this guy full participant?
So most of us thought that was a I don't want to be here hamstring injury, but it seems like it might be an actual hamstring injury. Mm-hmm. Also, Duke Johnson, just for what he's going to do, I don't think he has like a ton of catch-up to do. Like, I don't think he has a ton to learn that is totally new and unique and that he's that far behind that he has to be out there. Plus, you know Duke Johnson's going to be on the team, so it's okay to get Caron Higdon, Demaryius Crockett. Those are the two guys competing for that last running back spot, that third spot. It's okay to get those guys some reps. If Duke Johnson's not going to be ready around the time the third preseason game rolls around or the week after the third one heading into the fourth one where they start installing for week one, that's when I get a little bit concerned, but I'm not worried about Duke Johnson right now.
Now, speaking of him, and we just talked about DeAndre Carter, any chance that Duke Johnson ends up being a return guy for this team at all? He has some experience doing it, but QT comes back and healthy. I mean, what is that? How do you see this when everybody's back and healthy? Who is the returner?
Went out the window in Green Bay, isn't it?
Yeah,
but who is the returner on this team?
So I think it's gonna just be DeAndre Carter, which you get into a really weird situation if it's just DeAndre Carter for everything, and he gets hurt, or he has to play a lot of slot wide receiver, and then you know his punt return reps, his kick return reps aren't, you know, full go, full stamina, full energy. So you get into a kind of a weird situation. That's where I think the fifth wide receiver spot and the sixth wide receiver spot, if they do keep six, would be interesting because a lot of those guys are getting work at kick return and punt return. And so those guys would be there to maybe back up Carter if he has to play a lot. Maybe you do Duke Johnson, but at this point, when he does get out there, he is going to have to catch up on what little bit of the offense. So I think that's an emergency situation more so than an option.
So your depth chart starts with DeAndre Carter and then five or six, the fifth or sixth wide receiver.
Pretty
goes
much.
From there.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much.
That makes sense.
Shockingly to me, there's not any corners or safeties that do any of the returning, which typically a lot of teams have, but the Texans.
A lot of teams have a lot of.
Do they have a guy like that, like the Honey Badger or something? I don't recall. Anyways.
Yeah, the Texans don't have any corners or safeties really doing returns, mostly offensive players.
Because they can't afford to lose any more than what they've already lost in the secondary.
I'm really frustrated by the amount of special teams first guys they have this year. Like, Johnson Batamosi, he's a really good special teams player. Awesome. Well, he's going to have to play corner at some point, and that's not good. So maybe we find someone that's good at corner and we just teach them special teams.
So essentially in the strengths of a team, you have offense, defense, and special teams. They might not master the other two, but special teams, they've got a corner of the market on.
I tell you what, they might be one of the probably the 10 best special teams units in football. especially because they've they seemingly spent assets trying to get special teamers.
Gold star to the punt team.
That's something. You know what? Nothing guarantees you 9-7 like a good special team.
They have two punters in camp, and one guy's terrible. I can't figure out why he's still here.
Let's break down the battle for 3 segments.
Yeah.
Oh, we appreciate one thing to look for Saturday night.
Left tackle, left guard. Okay. Left tackle, left guard. Who's at left guard? Who's at left tackle? How much do they play? And then if the experiment happened in Green Bay and looked good, does Titus Howard play any tackle snaps? Because the other day against Detroit in the one-on-one drills, his best rep in the one-on-one drills was at tackle, not at guard.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, they want to play him at guard, and he's been playing guard, but I think it's always in the back of their mind that he eventually is going to be a tackle for this team. And, God, you hope he doesn't have to play tackle this year, but if they don't figure it out right next to him, he may end up having to play tackle.
There you go. He's Cody Stutes. We always appreciate him stopping in. He'll be doing so throughout training camp, all brought to you by Twin Peaks. If you're looking for a great place to have your fantasy football draft, well, make sure you concentrate on the draft itself and not your lack of cold beer and great food. All you got to do is go to TwinPeaksRestaurant.com and reserve your spot for your draft at their place, and you know guaranteed you will have eats, drinks, and scenic views. It's Twin Peaks. Back with a whole lot more right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. F yeah, Friday. I know y'all tuned in for a Comedian of the Week this week, but we decided to pass because we had so much fun last night that we may have overindulged on.
No. Well, I had a plan.
I'm trying to make an excuse for you.
I know. It fell through. Sometimes I rely on these comedians to get me stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I hit them up and they say, yes, I'll send it to you, or yes, I have something, and then they don't, then there's nothing I can do about it. Sometimes it's too late. So
can't we just blame the city of Houston for ruining the whole comedy scene to begin with? It's kind of their fault.
We already have, yeah.
It's kind of their fault,
I mean,
right?
It's kind of bad right now. I'm not going to lie.
God.
This is a city that at one point had 10 comedy clubs in it. We have one now. Well, I think they're bad.
Like one and a half, basically?
Yeah.
Because the Secret Group is awesome,
but they don't do comedy full time.
Right.
So, and they don't book a traditional, like, they give you more stage time. Well, they, not me, but they give more stage time to comics than, what? I'm just speaking the
well
truth.
Well done. Well played.
They give more stage time to comics than anybody in this city does, but it's like a showcase thing, and it's not, you know, it's not a traditional one show Thursday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday kind of comedy club. But that doesn't mean it's not good. It doesn't mean it's not beneficial. It's just not a plus. They'll have like DJs and karaoke nights and all that other stuff. So, yeah, but there used to be 10.
I know. You always say that. I'm like, God, why was I not going to comedy clubs a lot more often back then? But obviously I was a little, I mean, 10, how long ago was that? Was that 80s, 90s?
Yeah, 80s, 90s. Yeah. 80s, I think it's like the mid 80s to early 90s was the peak of comedy in this city and the peak of comedy in general, if I'm being honest. Like, it's a lot more accessible now, but man, there was so much more opportunity to get on a show.
I was in my mid-30s back then, and it was unbelievable in Houston to go out all the different comedy clubs you could go to. But the thing that really amazes me is like,
I love
as many
more and
people
more every day
that you know, right? Yep. And as many people as when we do this Comedian of the Week, we feature people that have ties to Houston.
Yeah.
With everybody that has ties to Houston or started here or has gotten big after being here, and then you only have one comedy club.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you expect to claim, you know, and how do you nurture the ground so that people can get better and you can develop new comedians? If people like that and they hear that, then they should say that and they should want more of that, because that's the reason why a lot of these clubs, like your joke joint that was open for so long,
yeah,
they can only do so much. And if there's not the support and the backing and the finances, you just can't stay open.
Here's the funny thing, and I know I've joked about this before, and somebody did it to me last night joking, but a lot of people did it where people all night long, people will come up, man, I need to catch a show. When's your next show in Houston? I can't tell you how many people ask me that. And I'm flattered by that. And I think they genuinely want to know that. And I think most people that were asking genuinely want to come to one of my comedy shows. But the real truth of it is I won't see those people.
They the only one that I believe is the Pope's. Like when they say, hey, when's Barry's next comedy show?
They're
I'm
huge
like,
supporters.
You're really going to go.
Walt and his wife.
Walt is another one.
I mean, to be honest with you, I think Walt and his wife have probably been to more shows than anyone, including my family.
You've mentioned that before.
But
yeah.
But there are people that come out. Don't get me wrong. But the number of people that asked me last night, hey, when's your next show? When are you performing? Versus the number of people that will follow up and actually come is pretty significant. It's a pretty significant difference between the two, and that's part of the problem because people can just consume it online now, so they don't go. So I think that's part of it. Yeah. You know, I'm not trying to guilt anybody to going to one of my shows or going to comedy in general. Right. I'm just saying if you love comedy, you should go out and support it.
Yeah,
if you
no
love
doubt.
Music, you should go. If you love the theater, that's the thing is we've become kind of lazy.
And the bottom line is just say hi next time.
Yes.
We've talked about that. I mean, don't get you all hyped going, yeah, my next show is, and then look forward to seeing all these people that want to know, and then they don't show.
Well, that's why what I just started doing is, look, I put it on my schedule on my website. As soon as I get it, just go to barryisfunny.com. As soon as I have a show, that's the first place I put it. And I even have to check that to know what my schedule is. So, you know, if you really do want to support, you don't have to ask me and pretend. Just show up or don't. That's cool.
There you
Either
go.
Way.
And I want to get your thoughts as while we're on the topic. I saw Dave Chappelle is going to have what his fifth Netflix God. Special. I mean, is that excessive or
no?
You can't wait.
There's some guys that I just can't get enough of their comedy, and he's one of them. Bill
Plus,
Burr.
It's not like it's not over. Like he spreads it out.
Is it redundant or is it good?
No. Because a guy like Chappelle, there's some guys that I think it would be excessive if you watched. And I hate to do this, but like an Andrew Dice Clay.
Mm-hmm.
If Andrew Dice Clay was dropping a special every 6 months, it's really the same thing, right? It's the nursery rhymes, and it's misogynistic, and it's, hey, whoa.
Oh.
And then so you see it once, and you're like, okay. But the difference with Chappelle is that he has something to say, and it's not always the same thing about in the same way. So a guy like that or a guy like Bill Burr, I could watch all day long. But other guys, it's a little more gimmicky that when it becomes too much.
I especially agree with you in regards to Bill Burr because I don't really get enough of I think he's just so solid with the way he delivers and writes his jokes.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's insane how and what he gets away with.
Yeah.
Like, he did a whole bit on fat people. His words. They go, oh, fat people. And then, bro, in today's climate in 2019, that is considered edgy now. Back in the day, no one blinked an eye if you used the word fat on stage. Now, if I even when I do it in the little clubs I work, they get a little antsy.
We say it on the air. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a different time.
Come on.
We're all fat
pushed
too,
boundaries.
So.
We push boundaries and yeah, break through barriers on a daily basis around here. So, yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on that, too, because I saw that, and I was like, man, that's saying something. When you put five Netflix specials together,
yeah,
that's pretty
prolific.
Good stuff.
He is prolific.
It's so funny to me because I remember that when I saw him in, I believe it was Blue Streak with Martin Lawrence, and he was like the guy that was going to snitch on Martin Lawrence if he didn't get him out of jail and give him his cut of the money that he got from the diamond he stole or whatever,
yeah,
or that he thought he had. I would have never thought he would have progressed into what he is today. Same. Not that he wasn't funny in that movie.
Yeah.
I just didn't
baked.
Think, yeah. Well, oh, he was fantastic.
I remember watching Dave Chappelle on Def Comedy Jam 1991. And I remember watching some kid from D.C. His name was Dave Chappelle. And the stuff that he did blew my mind then. It was one of those, he had these couple of bits where It was, you know, I would watch all the Def Comedy Jams. That's what I loved the most. That was my favorite style of comedy. And me and my foster brother, Dante, that's the stuff we would do. You know, when you hang out with your boys and you would do an Eddie Murphy line, we would do stuff from Def Comedy Jam. And Chappelle's bits were one of those. I had no idea Dave Chappelle would end up being one of the greatest stand-ups of all time when we watched that. But here he is, man. The evolution of that guy. Just amazing.
But Kevin Hart, same thing, man. Like, that was another guy that was funny, but I didn't expect him to progress. So you can never underestimate anybody.
Well,
you never know.
They say it takes 20 years to become an overnight success. That's the crazy thing. As you think about that, 1991, I'm watching Dave Chappelle, and he didn't really blow up until, like, blow up.
So you'll
until
be retired
Chappelle
when
show.
You're blowing up.
I'm going to be an old-ass man for my 20-year, what did I start at, 38, 39?
Yeah, I mean.
I'm screwed.
So you'll be Jordan and up for the Hall of Fame at the same time.
You ain't have to put it like that.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Breaking NFL news, Derwin James, the standout defensive back for the San Diego Chargers, stress fracture in his foot. He is going to be evaluated, but that doesn't sound good. And for the Jets, who played last night, linebacker Avery Williamson tore his ACL. He's done for the season. Those are the kind of injuries when you start questioning more and more why teams even bother playing their frontline players in the first couple preseason games.
Other breaking news, I think DeMarcus Cousins' agent came out and said it was ACL, probably out for the year. So we're
saw video of it last night. There was rumors it was knee to knee. Nope. Came down the lane with the ball, and the minute he stepped going to the basket, about 3 feet from the basket, he hit the floor, and you could see guys put their hands over their heads like,
really?
Oh no, they just knew. And that's when you know. When there's a non-contact just planting your foot and it goes, that's a bad sign.
Hey, next segment, can we talk a little bit about Daryl Morey, your favorite guy.
We can get into that.
His thoughts on James Harden versus Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't have any, but we can talk about it.
I knew you weren't going to be passionate about this at all.
None at all. All right, hour number two is coming up next. We'll start with that, finish with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.